Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Visiting Rinca Island, President Joko Widodo wants grant design to develop tourism potential. President Joko Widodo said tourism is still a serious threat. Now the news in details. On the second day of his working visit to his Nusa Tenggara province on Thursday morning, President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo visited Rinca Island in West Manggarai Regency. Rinca Island is located in the west of Flores Island, which is separated by Morlo Strait. Rinca Island, along with Komodo and Padar Island, are Komodo National Park areas managed by the central government. To the journalist, President Joko Widodo said that this visit is aimed at seeing a big picture of tourism development potential in West Manggarai Regency. He views that the result of this working visit will be followed up at the central level so that the development of tourism in West Manggarai can be done in an integrated and comprehensive manner.
Ini yang rancangan besar ini yang sebentar lagi akan kita buatkan rapat terbatas.
This is a big design that we will soon make in a limited meeting so that the grand design really connects between Labuan Bajo Rinca and all the Sea Komodo. By being well designed and done without being partial, we are happy to work with the annual budget worth 200 million rupiah or 500 million rupiah. So what do we want to make? So the money is really designed. Once the money is out, but it is well planned and getting off from the airport to the destination, it's obviously all connected. I guess so. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo estimates that the development of integrated tourism potential in West Manggarai Regency can be completed within 3 years, because the process of regional development is carried out thoroughly, starting from the development of the Komodo Airport, the construction of tourism supporting facilities, until the revamping of Komodo National Park. It's 2 years or 3 years at maximum. This is because of huge work. If the runway of the airport is finished, the hotels will start operating and here is also okay. During the working visit to Rinca Island, West Manggarai Regency, President Joko Widodo was also accompanied by Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi, and Minister of State Secretary Pratikno. Indonesian President Joko Widodo affirms that terrorism and radicalism are still potential threat. He views that the development of information technology also contributes to the potential crime in cyberspace. This was stated by President Joko Widodo when giving the mandate during the commemoration of the 73rd anniversary of the Bayangkara National Police at the National Monument Square in Jakarta on Wednesday. As reported on the Cabinet Secretariat website, President Joko Widodo also stated that the spread of hoaxes and hate speech are also a possible threat to the harmony and unity of the Indonesian nation. The national police must be able to address it smartly and quickly. He also called for conventional crimes that disturb the community to be a concern for the national police. Transnational crimes such as terrorism, narcotics trafficking, human trafficking, and cybercrime must be able to be overcome by the national police. In addition, crime against state assets such as illegal logging and mining, illegal fishing and corruption must be prevented and eradicated to protect the interests of the people and the state. President Joko Widodo, while acting as an inspector of a ceremony to celebrate the National Police 73rd anniversary at the National Monument Jakarta on Wednesday, has urged the National Police to improve the quality of its human resources. As quoted by Antara News Agency on his speech, President Joko Widodo delivered some instructions as a guideline for carrying out the task. First, the National Police should continue to improve quality of human resources to face the task challenges. Second, the National Police should put forward the proactive and preventive strategy with humanistic approaches and actions. Third, the police should continue to improve the public services quality that is modern, easy and fast. Fourth, the national police should increase professionalism and transparency in the field of law enforcement and provide a sense of justice to people. Fifth, the national police should also strengthen good coordination with other institutions, Indonesian armed forces, ministries and regional governments, as well as people in maintaining security and social order. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of National Development Planning, head of the National Development Planning Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, said that the government has invited the private sector and state-owned enterprises to take part in the planned transfer of Indonesia's capital. As reported by Antara News Agency, Minister Bambang said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the Indonesian Real Estate Association has stated its ability to participate in the process of moving the capital city of Indonesia. He is optimistic that in the future, other stakeholders will be involved in the process of moving the capital, because both private companies and state-owned enterprises in Indonesia have begun to get used to business entity in government cooperation scheme promoted by the government in this program. The study and recommendation of the Organization for Economic Cooperation Development, OECD, through its Green Growth Policy Review, GGPR, should assist Indonesia to grow green. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya Bakar, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that this is an important part if Indonesia looks at references related to the environment, sustainability, transparency and economic development and green growth. She also claimed to have coordinated with Minister of National Development Planning, head of the National Development Planning Agency, Bappenas, Bambang Brojonegoro, to obtain and disclose Indonesia's policy review in green growth orientation without any hesitation. The OECD, through GGPR, had provided evidence-based assessment and various policy recommendations to help Indonesia ensure consideration of green growth. Indonesian Ministry of Trade is committed to empowering small and medium enterprises to improve the quality of environmentally friendly products through technical guidance activities. This was stated by Director General of Domestic Trade at the Ministry of Trade, Cahya Widayanti, in the opening event of the Product Development of Technical Guidance in Cirebon, West Java on Wednesday. As reported by Antara News Agency, she said that the government always supports business people in producing domestic products that are environmentally friendly, of high quality, and with international competitiveness, so they can become king in the domestic market and realize sustainable export performance improvements. According to Cahya Widayanti, the economic strength of a country derives from the potential power of some region, so that the regional government must play a major role in utilizing natural resources into favorable economic values. Indonesian government is committed to promoting the development of a national competitive and sustainable seaweed industry to increase economic activities in coastal communities, border regions and disadvantaged areas. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Deputy of Food and Agriculture at Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, Mustalifah Mahmud, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that seaweed is one of the concerns and priorities, especially for developing coastal areas, though she needs guidance for all related stakeholders. Mustalifah also explained that Indonesia needs to focus on managing the potential of its waters, which covers an area of 2/3 of the total area, to support national food security and contribute to the world market. She added that one of the water's strategic potential is seaweed, which is currently has 782 species that grow in Indonesia marine waters. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here's commentary entitled Increasing Cooperative Contribution to GDP. July the 12th is Indonesian Cooperative Day. In Indonesia, the role of cooperatives is very important for people's economy. Indonesians have felt the benefits of cooperatives mainly in solving economic issues. So, it is not surprising if currently there are a lot of cooperatives in many cities and regions across Indonesia. Data in 2018 from Indonesian Cooperatives and Small Medium Enterprises Ministry, there are 138,000 cooperatives in Indonesia. However, the number is yet to provide significant contribution towards national development. cooperative contribution towards development, especially gross domestic product, is still relatively small, only around 4%. President Joko Widodo then hopes that the cooperative can give significant contribution for national economy. He even hopes there will be Indonesian cooperative with international standards. In his remark during last year's Cooperative Day on July 12, 2018, President Joko Widodo encouraged the cooperative cadres to study the system of multinational standard modern cooperative with hundreds of trillions of annual turnover. By studying modern cooperative system, he hopes there will be Indonesian cooperatives among the world's 100 biggest cooperatives. Getting into the world's 100 biggest is easy. However, Indonesian cooperatives have the chance to size the big market. Thus, the cooperative need to target millennial generation by adjusting with the millennials' characters who loves technology. Based on that, the cooperative need to innovate in technology. The technology will enhance the members' trust, especially the millennial ones, because in managerial aspect, online-based technology can control cooperatives and reduce the fraud risk. The online-based cooperative will improve and facilitate online shopping platform for its members. Besides, cooperatives need to apply better services and high-quality products, as well as to compete in providing satisfaction and creating members' prosperity. Well, listener, that's the commentary today.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program, Today in History. World Population Day is commemorated on July 11 since 1989 by United Nations Development Program, UNDP. The determination of the date was inspired by 5 billion day on July 11, 1987. It was the projection date when the world's population reached 5 billion people. The World Population Day aims to enhance people's awareness on various problems of population, such as the importance of planning family, gender equality, poverty, mother's health, and human rights. And the next event is that in 1995, Serbian force committed massacre in Srebrenica. Srebrenica massacre was the one that killed more than 8,000 men and teenagers of Muslim Bosnian ethnic in Srebrenica, Bosnia. The massacre was committed by Serbian force led by General Ratko Mladic. On February 27, 2007, International Court decided the tragedy as genocide. Then General Mladic became an international fugitive because he was proven guilty of committing genocide and various war crimes in Yugoslavia. And the last event is that in 2010, Spain gained World Cup for the first time. In the final of World Cup 2010, which took place on July 11, Spain defeated the Netherlands through extension of time. Andreas Iniesta scored a single goal in the 116 minutes. The goal finally carried Spain to gain world champion for the first time and also to create their mission to obtain at once title of European Cup and World Cup. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Kasihku,
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here's today's My Indonesia entitled Increasing Indonesian Wildlife Researchers and Conservationists in Global Level. Indonesian Environment and Forestry Ministry and IPB University held workshop for Indonesian wildlife researchers and conservationists at IPB International Convention Center in Bogor, West Java on Monday. Besides increasing the capacity of wildlife researchers in Indonesia, the activity also aims to increase the network and to optimize the country's ability in international conservation diplomacy sector. Director General of Natural Resources and Ecosystem Conservation Wiratno said that currently only 75 Indonesian researchers, professionals, and wildlife activists join in various specialist groups in Species Survival Commission formed by International Union of Conservation of Nature, or IUCN. The number is actually only a few, considering there are many specialist groups without Indonesian members. Therefore, the workshop is directed to optimize the ability of Indonesia in international conservation. Wiratno further said that as one of the mega biodiversity countries, Indonesia had been a limelight amongst wildlife researchers and had produced hundreds of discoveries. Many wildlife researchers in Indonesia had joined in various professional associations which housed researchers and conservationists of similar expertise, such as Indonesian Ornithologists Union, Indonesian Herpetology Association, Indonesian Entomologists Association, Indonesian Biology Association, Indonesian Orangutan Forum, Harimau Kita Forum, and the professional ones such as Indonesian Veterinarian Association. He added that Species Survival Commission formed by IUCN grew into science-based global network of thousands of volunteers on biodiversity. Species Survival Commission carries out species status assessment, develops species conservation action plan and strategy, prepares technical guidance, and formulates IUCN policy. So in general, Species Survival Commission promotes technical knowledge, recommendation, and policy guidance, which can affect conservation acts across the globe. Meanwhile, the Dean of IPB University's Forestry Faculty, Rinexo Sukmadi, said that in this year's Wildlife Researchers and Conservationist Workshop can tighten the networks of researchers with policymakers. It also increases synergy with related parties in solving various conservation issues. Similarly, Wiratno hopes that the meeting can improve the role of Indonesian researchers in various international conservation bodies, mainly IUCN, through participation in specialist groups or proposing new specialist group or Red List Authority special for the needs in Indonesia. And listener, that's My Indonesia today. Stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Terima kasih.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we are going to let you know Losari Must Dance. International Must Dance, or IMF, was conducted again at Pendapi Gede City Hall in Surakarta, Central Java, on July 5th to 6, 2019. This festival is an annual event of performance concept of mass art and handicraft. A number of arts were performed. One of them was the dance, which talked about the establishment of Singo Barong Kingdom at Lodoyo Forest. The dance was performed by dancers of Singo Yogo Art Studio. There was also Losari Dance, which was danced by Purwa Kencana Studio. Meanwhile, the dancers from Tejo Dance carried Bapang, Five Wonder Mask Dances, and Fragment Dances by Wijaya Kusuma Art Studio. In today's edition, we will introduce Losari Must Dance. The dance was created by Panembahan Losari, or Prince Angkawijaya, around 400 years ago. Earlier, it was created to spread Islam. In its studying, Losari dance prioritized characteristics of Panji's story, different from other must dances in Cirebon region, West Java, which prioritize development of human characteristic that led to philosophical values. Losari Must Dance has three typical movements, namely galeong, pasang naga seser, or similar with Kathakali pose in India, and Gantung Kaki pose, which is similar with foot of the statue of Lord Shiva as Nataraja from India. This requires the dancers to show their feet to the side. Losari Must Dance center, like mass or other regions, is focused on box, which is put on stage. The box is believed to have supernatural power, so there is a kind of the correlation of motion with the set of performances on the stage. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thanks for listening.
Pisahkan kau dan aku di malam ini. Bisik suaramu terdengar, lambut kau sebut namaku. Rasakan hangat nafasmu, seakan ku terbang tinggi.
Menari love bersamaku, menjadi satu.
Dan aku di malam ini, bisik suaramu terdengar, lembut kau sebut namaku. Rasakan hangat nafasmu, seakan ku terbang tinggi. Jadi satu. Hanya kamu dan aku.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia for the world. On 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Jemukti Innovation Product. Stay tuned. Five students of Pajajaran University, consisting of Muhammad Imam Muhajir, Ajar Faflul Abror, Regi Atmar Yusuf from Faculty of Math and Science, Sandi Sujatmiko from Faculty of Social and Politics, and Diana Citra Ayu from Faculty of Communication succeeded to develop mosquito larva product by using lime peel waste. The five students developed product whose name is Jentik Nyamuk Mati or Jemukti. According to Imam Muhajir, one of the students, lime peel was chosen because through research of literature which reported that the content of secondary metabolites that are active against many mosquito larvae can be found in the lime. In addition, lime peel is chosen as raw material because its usage increases. that was seen from lime juice sellers who just throw the lime peel away. Besides decreasing the spread of dengue fever in Indonesia, Jamukti is also hoped to be able to decrease lime peel waste. Jamukti has a kind of tablet and functions to kill mosquitoes or larvae using Eversense technology. The technology can cause the users not to spread repellent mosquito larvae into puddle, but it is enough by dipping the tablet, and automatically the tablet will be soluble in water. In the granule technology of effervescent, when being entered into water, the bubbles will appear to dissolve the product into water. Jamukti is made from natural substance, lime peel, which is claimed safer from other mosquito larvae repellent products, which are generally used synthetic products. This makes Jamukti be more guaranteed, and there is little negative impact if the water which is mixed with the product is consumed by human beings. The substance is safer because it is made from lime peel extract, while other products are from synthetic stuff with contents of organophosphate, so that it is dangerous for human beings. That was our segment for today, Miss Eleni. Thank you for listening.
Mengertilah, hai, percaya. Kita berjuang.
Kita berjuang.
Kita bersama.
Kita bersama.
Kita bahagia.
Sederhana.
La 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 la.
Bahagia itu sederhana.
Bahagia itu sederhana.
Karena ada kamu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Music Corner. Today I want to present you a song entitled September Ceria from one of the Indonesian pop divas, Vina Panduwinata. The song September Ceria is included in the Vina's debut album Persona, which was released in 1982. The song created by James F. Sunda became a hit at the time. And at the same time, the song made the name Vina Panduwinata well known to the wider community. Then the song September Ceria was often sung by young couples who were in love. However, for the songwriters James F. Sunda, the song September Ceria has its own story. According to James, in September, the whole world felt a change. The four-season countries enter autumn, while countries in the south enter spring, and tropical countries enter the rainy seasons, so this weather changed to be a cool. According to James, it's feeling good to make songs. Here is the song September Ceria by Vina Panduwinata. Happy listening.
Di ujung kemarau panjang yang gersang dan menyakitkan, datang menghantar berjuta kasih juga. Kasih kau beri udara untuk nafasku, kau beri warna bagi kelabu jiwaku. Tatkala butiran hujan mengusik
Voice of Indonesia.
Bagiku
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.